بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. From the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He calls Himself in the Quran are some names related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a guardian and being a preserver and being a protector. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Himself in the Quran Al-Hafidh. Allah says, Inna Rabbi ala kulli shay'in hafidh. Verily my Lord is over all things a preserver, a protector, a guardian. And the word Al-Hafidh is also similar in meaning to Al-Hafidh. Somebody who protects, somebody who guards, somebody who preserves. And this is why the one who has memorized Quran is known as a hafidh, because not only has he memorized the words of the Quran, but he's also preserving the meaning of the Quran in his heart, on his tongue, and with his limbs, through his actions. Also from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has similar meanings, is Al-Muhaymin, the one who protects, the one who guards, the one who oversees everything that takes place under his dominion. And when we look at the life of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, we see examples of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the companions had so much trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How they truly understood and realized that there was no one who could give them the protection that they needed more so than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's only so much a human being can do to protect somebody else, somebody he loves, a loved one, a spouse, a husband, a wife, his or her brother or sister, their children, their parents. There's only so much that you can do. There will be instances and times and cases where you won't be there for your loved one when they may need you. There's no chance of a person being with another individual that he loves and he wants to care for 24 hours of the day. And when we look at the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from even before prophethood, we realize that he was under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who was taking care of him when there was nobody else who could have taken care of him. His father passed away before he was even born. His mother passed away when he was a child. His grandfather passed away when he was also a child, around the age of 6 years old. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him of this. In Surah Al-Duha, Allah says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Weren't you an orphan and we gave you refuge? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And you were lost and we guided you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And you were poor and we made you self-sufficient. We gave you wealth. We made you rich. Reminding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was nobody. There was nobody taking care of you. There was no one who was watching over you more so than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And in order for him to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made him realize this by causing his own parents to pass away when he was young. Some may say, if he was the messenger of Allah, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause his parents to die at such a young age? Why didn't his parents grow up, see him grow up and take care of him and give him that educational nourishment and that tarbiyah that he so much needed and depended upon if he was going to be the messenger he was going to be? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to realize he is the one who protects, he is the one who guards, he is the one who truly protects and oversees and preserves the individual more than any human being can possibly do. And when we look at the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see so many examples of this happening, seeing this in action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the protector and the guardian and the one who preserves. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Mecca with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it was such a dangerous journey because the Meccans and the Quraysh wanted to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he went to Medina. And so they set out in search of him, intending and planning on killing him. And there was no one there to protect him. The whole of the city of Mecca was against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no one in the city who would give him that protection, which is why he left in the first place. Him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they left, and we know the story of how when they left, they entered Ghar Thawr, the cave of Thawr. And when the two of them were in the cave and they were hiding, the mushrikun, they came into the cave and they were searching for them. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, all they have to do is just look down and they'll see us and they'll kill us and we're finished." And so the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this shows us the trust that he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَانِ وَبِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think of two people, Abu Bakr? The third of them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. Don't be afraid, don't be sad, verily Allah is with us. And this is repeated in the Quran. Allah mentions this. Allah mentions the statements in the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this moment in time in the Quran. Because of how crucial it was, how important those statements were, how he relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a moment at a time when they could have been killed. It could have been the end of their lives. And so we have to realize and understand and remember that as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam told us, if the whole world came together to try to protect us, then they won't be able to protect you if Allah had decreed otherwise. And if the whole of the world was to come together to try to harm you, then no harm could come to you if Allah hasn't decreed it. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the ultimate protector, the one who takes care of his slaves as long as they remember him. We know the story of when they were in Mecca and Surah Lahab was revealed, cursing Abu Lahab and his wife. And when his wife heard the news, Jameel, the wife of Abu Lahab, she came looking for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sitting with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw her coming towards them. And she said, "I'm afraid of your life, O Messenger of Allah. I'm afraid of what she might do to you, how she might behave towards you, what she might do." And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Innaha lan tarani." She won't see me. She won't be able to see me. And he recited, "وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا." When you recite the Quran, we place between you and those who don't believe in the last day a veil, a wall, something invisible between you. And when she came forward and she started to speak to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu about what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done and what he's been saying about her, about Abu Lahab, and she's cursing and she's angry and she's spewing all those evil things that she said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after she finished, she walked away. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was surprised, he was shocked. Not once did she turn to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this, he told him that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made me invisible to her. She couldn't see me because of his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of him remembering Allah, reciting Quran, remembering the speech of Allah in times of distress, in times of calamity, in times where if we were in similar situations where we were afraid for our lives, maybe we would think of other things. We would say other things. How often and how much would we actually think of reciting the Quran if harm was about to befall us? That's something that we really have to think about. Consciously, how much are we even remembering Allah in the day and night on a regular basis? to the extent that if something was to happen to us, if some harm was to befall us, naturally we would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we in that stage where we're constantly remembering Allah azza wa jal? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was once traveling with the companions, and they were tired, so they rested. And all the companions were tired and they fell asleep. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was under a tree and he was resting. One of the non-Muslims saw the companions and saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there under the tree exposed. He's defenseless. The companions are fast asleep. He made his way through the ranks of the companions who were sleeping, and none of them realized he was walking past them. And he made his way all the way to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he took the sword of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. This was his chance to kill the Messenger of Allah with his own sword. No one there to stop him. And so he raises the sword in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he opens his eyes. Imagine waking up and seeing a sword hanging above you. Imagine seeing somebody with a gun pointed towards you as you wake up. You wouldn't know what to say. You wouldn't know how to behave. You'd panic. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he opens his eyes and he just lies down calmly. And so the man is confused. And so he says, Ya Muhammad, man ya'asimuka minni? Oh Muhammad, who's going to defend you? Who's going to protect you from me? And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Allah. And as he said this, the man was paralyzed and the sword fell from his hands. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the sword himself, and the man is on his knees. He can't move. And he raises the sword in front of this man and he says, Man ya'asimuka minni? Who's going to protect you from me? And the man replies and he says, La ahad. Nobody. Look at the trust that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those nerves of steel which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam showed in the face of adversity, in the face of death itself. And he forgave the man and he let him go. So on top of this courage and bravery, he also had this mercy. There's so many examples which are mentioned. But what happens when an individual doesn't put his trust in Allah? What happens when a person doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being his protector, being the one who is the guardian, the one who oversees everything, the one who is al-hafiz, al-hafiz, al-muhaymin, the one who records and preserves and keeps everything going? Without him, nothing happens. We see examples of those who forgot about Allah, those who are proud of their achievements, so proud that they would say things and they would do things to show how proud and mighty and arrogant they had become, and they would question even the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those famous stories is when the famous ship, the Titanic, was built. And when this ship was built, one of those individuals who was working for that company, when it was built on the day of its launch, when it was making its first voyage on the seas, he said, not even God himself could sink this ship. And we all know the consequences of what happened. But when a person becomes so self-sufficient, he starts to think that everything that he's doing is because of his own efforts. And this is the culture we live in today, where we think to ourselves, I'm doing everything for myself. How is Allah even involved in my life? What is Allah doing for me? When a person starts to think like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may cause a punishment to befall you to make you realize, to make you remember that truly it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who preserves. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protects, without whom an individual really doesn't have any type of protection whatsoever. There's a story which is mentioned of an incident which took place in the time of Nuruddin, the predecessor of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, Nuruddin, it said that when he slept one night, he had a dream that two individuals were trying to rob the grave of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he woke up, he did wudu, he prayed, and he went back to sleep. And he had this dream a second time. And he woke up, he prayed, did wudu, prayed, went back to sleep. The third time he had the dream, he couldn't sleep no more. And so when he told his advisor told him and gave him advice of going to Medina yourself. Go to Medina. And so the both of them, when they went to Medina, they carried lots of wealth, lots of money with them, with a plan to give sadaqah to the people of Medina. When they arrived in Medina, they were watching and recording every single person who came to collect this charity from them. And every single person from Medina was told to come and give their name so they can get some money. And when everybody was done and Nuruddin couldn't find those two individuals that he had seen in his dream, he asked them, is there anybody else? And they said, there are two people who have come from Al-Maghrib, from the West. And they haven't come because they are people who worship Allah. They give charity. They're always at Al-Baqi', the graveyard of the Muslims. And they're always doing righteous deeds. And so when he called them, he asked them where they were from. And they said, we are from Al-Maghrib, from the West. And we have come here to perform Hajj. And we stayed after Hajj because of our closeness to the Prophet ﷺ. And so when he went to his house and he looked under their rug, he noticed a tunnel had been dug from the house all the way to the grave of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And when he asked them and he interrogated them, they said, we dug this as an order from the Christian ruler who told us to come, and he gave us lots of wealth, which we would give in sadaqah to hide our actions, until we reached close to the grave, and there was an earthquake. And so we stopped. And that same night, you came. So Nuruddin, this individual, he was receiving this dream from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, even in his death, his body is being preserved, his body is being protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point being, brothers and sisters, when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he trusts Allah azza wa jal and he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being his protector, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect that individual even after his death. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, we were talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the ultimate protector and the guardian and the one who preserves and the one who oversees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Hafidh, Al-Hafidh, Al-Muhaymin, the one who protects. There's no greater protector than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And how he protected the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from harm in Mecca, from those who wanted to harm him, from those who wanted to kill him when he fled Mecca, when he made the hijrah to Medina. And we mentioned examples of how the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasallam was protected when everyone else was unable to protect him. When there was nobody else to protect him, he had this tawakkul and this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know recently of what's been happening. We know of crime rates increasing. We know that from the signs of the Day of Judgment is that a person will kill another and he won't know why he's killing that person, and the person who's being killed won't know why he's being killed. And there are some parts of the world where people are involved in crimes and you would be shocked at the statistics. There are cases of some places in the world where a person could commit crimes to the extent that in a single city, there could be 3 murders, there could be 97 stabbings, 269 knife crimes in a space of 2 months. And these are statistics for our city. the city of Birmingham, brothers and sisters. These statistics are statistics which are 1 week old. And maybe the officers who are here today can tell us that those statistics have probably increased over the past week. So what can an individual do for himself, for his family, from an Islamic perspective, to protect himself and to protect his family members? First of all, having tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, having the tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Advising our family members to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he gave us adhkar in the morning, in the evening, when we leave our homes, when we are traveling. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he told us, man qala idha kharaja min baytihi, when a person leaves his house, if he says, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the name of Allah, I put my trust in Allah, and there is no power, no might, except with Allah. It will be said, Kufita wa wuqita wa hudita. You have been taken care of, you are protected, and you are guided. And then the shayateen will flee from him. They'll step aside. They'll move away from him. And other shayateen will tell those shayateen, they'll say, Kayfa laka bi rajulin qad hudiya wa kufiya wa wuqiya. What are you going to do to a man who's been protected, he's been taken care of, he's being guided? What are you going to do? How are you going to harm this individual? There's nothing you can do to this man who's remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he's left his home. That's just one thing that we can do in order to make sure that we are protected when we leave the security and the safety of our own homes. Remembering and understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us at times when nobody else can protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us and our family members safety and security in times and instances where they won't be able to be there for us. They won't be able to protect us all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives those who have been killed and murdered, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the death of shuhada, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us and protects our families and protects our communities from evil. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون.